Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sharon W. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 19th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 5, the first paragraph, liquor ceased to be a luxury, ending with periods of sobriety which renewed my wife's hope, and that will be one paragraph only. Today's readers are Jody E., Lois P., and Robin P. will be doing the 12 steps, and Linda B., the 12 traditions. And at the end of the meeting, we will have a newcomer greeter, Leah, and announcements by Allison. The share ID for Wednesday, May 18th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,970. That is 18970. And for this morning, Thursday, May 19th, 7 a.m. meeting, 18,976. That is 18976. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 steps, please.
This is Deb E.
For the steps.
Okay, Deb. Go ahead, Deb.
Sorry about that. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Deb. And I'll now ask Linda B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Linda B., recovered compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. And thank you for your service, Sharon. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Linda. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 5, the first paragraph, Liquor Ceased to Be a Luxury, ending with periods of sobriety which renewed my wife's hope, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only. And I will ask Jody E. to begin reading. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Sharon, for your service. Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Liquor ceased to be a luxury. It became a necessity. Bathtub gin, 2 bottles a day, and often 3, got to be routine. Sometimes a small deal would net a few $100s, and I would pay my bills at the bars and delicatessens. This went on endlessly, and I began to waken very early in the morning, shaking violently. A tumbler full of gin, followed by half a dozen bottles of beer, would be required if I were to eat any breakfast. Nevertheless, I still thought I could control the situation, and there were periods of sobriety which renewed my wife's hope. So liquor ceased to be a luxury. My liquor are a variety of things, not a terribly long list, but a list of ingredients that, for me, once I begin to consume them, become required. My body craves them. The phenomenon of craving is put into motion. And I cease to eat to live. I begin to live to eat these alcoholic foods and ingredients. And in my story, I can see how that became worse and worse as time went on. This is a progressive illness, and the more I consume these alcoholic ingredients, the more I want, and the farther down the scale I go. My tolerance for compulsive overeating and for gaining weight is relatively low. And so I found a way to substitute my addictive foods for another substance that allowed me to use that alternative substance that did not make me gain weight instead of eating. So then I also used fasting. So I'm a bulimic type. So I never became terribly overweight, but I did become terribly sick. And it wasn't until I found a way to abstain entirely from my liquor, my alcoholic ingredients, that I began to find a way to recover from this disease. I also had to put down that other alternative substance to get really sober and to be able to work these 12 steps. But there were times when there were periods of sobriety which renewed my hope, but were followed by relapse. So I have a history of relapse, as did Bill. And things do get worse until they get better. But entire abstinence and working all 12 steps diligently, honestly, fearlessly, and then living in steps 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, and 12 are what are keeping me sane, sober, abstinent, and moving forward today in my evolution as a human being. And I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody. Okay, so I'm going to, in a minute, after I just give a little spiel, I'm going to take some names for people that would like to share. And I'm just going to ask that you remember to share on topic and limit your share to approximately 3 minutes. And if you could tell me where you're calling from, so your first name, your initial, where you're calling from, and let's try to do one at a time. I know it's not always easy, but it'll be great for me to be able to get everyone's names. And I'm ready to start.
Lauren A.
Kristen R.
Eileen P. from Minnesota.
Eileen G. from New York.
Tammy K. New York.
Penny C. from Boston.
Chrissy O., Indiana.
Leah S., Brooklyn, New York.
Wonderful. We will start there. I have Lauren A., Kristen R., Eileen P. from Minnesota, Elaine C., New York, Tammy K., Penny C., Chrissy O., and then Leah S. Let's get started with Lauren A., followed by Kristen, and then just let me know where you're calling from. And I will take another lineup after this lineup as well.
Hi, Lauren
okay,
A.
Lauren.
From Minnesota. Thank you for hearing my name. This has one of my... One of the lines that I think is the funniest in the whole big book, but first I'll talk about the two pages ahead of this. He's talking about how serious his drinking got. My drinking was not yet continuous. It disturbed my wife. That was on page 2. Then he talks about getting in a fight with a cab driver. And then it's 2 bottles a day, often 3 got to be routine. So it was crazy drinking. It wasn't just, you know, garden variety alcoholic. And then waking very early in the morning, shaking violently. 6 bottles of beer, a tumbler full of gin, all these things really indicate real serious drinking. But this is the line that I think is hilarious. Nevertheless, I still thought I could control the situation. And I know that, you know, that I did that with the food, that, oh, I got it this time. I've got the perfect diet. I'm going to get there. But I couldn't. It was crazy to ever think I could control the situation. So That's what I have. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Next, we have Kristen R., followed by Eileen P.
Thank you, moderator. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. Grateful to be on the line this morning. So I'm going to go back to that sentence about control, too, because I think what characterizes my program more than anything is defiance. Nobody's going to tell me how to eat. Nobody's going to tell me how to act. And as long as I'm in that defiance, I'm screwed, because I'm not willing to learn and I'm not willing to listen. Right now, I'm in a caffeine addiction that I'm really struggling to let go of. And it comes and it goes and it comes and it goes. And it's just like Bill, you know, over and over again, I keep trying and it's a bear. It's just a bear. And, you know, I look at it like this is my drug of choice. This is how my socially acceptable drug of choice, you know, I'm not out like Bill getting boozy, you know, I'm not smoking, I'm not doing any of the other really bad addictions, but here I am, you know, going to Starbucks two or three times a day, just because I can, just because I'm bored and lonely, which is really, really the thing that's feeding my addiction more than anything, boredom and loneliness. So anyway, I'd love outreach calls if people have time to talk. My name is Kristen R. I live in Virginia. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kristen. Next, we have Eileen P., followed by Elaine C.
Hi, I'm Eileen P. from Minnesota. I've been in the program. I first came to a meeting 20 years ago, I only recently, in the last 5 years, have I gotten desperate enough to do what's necessary to stay sober. You know, it is a progressive disease. It does get worse, as Bill is saying. So I would, you know, get sick and eat so much I would get sick. And I'm older now. I'm 55 years old, and I can't afford the health problems that occur that get worse and worse and worse. So I have 60 days of abstinence. I'm doing 90 meetings in 90 days. And I just sort of discovered that you guys are doing this. And I'm so grateful for going through the big book step by step and really thinking about this. And I appreciate all the insight here. I don't have a lot of insight. I'm just trying to be honest and go to meetings and share because it's a service. So that's all I got. I'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen. Next up, we have Elaine C., followed by Tammy K.
That's Elaine G., by the way. It's Elaine G.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Elaine. Sorry, I think I did that last time also. Go ahead,
yeah.
Elaine.
Okay. About this paragraph, I was addicted to, I gave it up like maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe a little longer. Coke Cold Zero, you know, and I was drinking it like it was going out of style, you know, and also I, you know, like I was taking these pain pills for my knee replacement. My aide that came today said to me, "Are you still taking the pain pills?" I says, "No," I gave that up. Thank God my knee's feeling better, and What about the soda? I said, no, I'm not drinking that either. But now all of a sudden I picked up Sunkissed Orange. And because it has caffeine in there, I figured that way I could drink that and stay awake for this meeting. But anyway, when it came to my compulsive eating, I didn't really care to be sociable with anybody. Not at all. All I was interested in is what I could get next of food. And when I had gone to affairs, like bar mitzvahs, weddings, different things, you know, the first thing I looked for as soon as I walked in was the food. And nothing else mattered. I mean, like, I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, and my first sober party, you know, of course I didn't have alcohol there, but what I picked up was the Diet Coke, and I got high off the Diet Coke, you know? So I have a very addictive personality. Now, when it came to compulsive eating, which I have a hell of a lot of trouble with, staying abstinent, that I had one time compulsive overate so bad that the next day I had the jitters, was shaken, like how they talk about in the Big Book here about the people that, you know, they were alcoholics and they shook in the morning, you know, and the only way I got out of it was going to a meeting and expressing everything I did there and doing all the sober things that, you know, and that I needed to do, working my steps, working my tools, calling people, writing in the journal, or you know, reading everything I needed to do. And finally, that feeling lifted. And all I know is that I'm in desperate need of this program, and I stay with it, even when if I compulsively overeat the night before, I make sure the next day I make double amount of meetings.
Gentle reminder.
And I'm just glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. And just a little reminder to that this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. And what we read was the Big Book, page 5, the first paragraph, liquor ceased to be a luxury. Thank you so much. And we have Tammy K. followed by Penny C.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tammy K. from New York. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and very specifically sugar addict, and I want to say relapse survivor. I used to say chronic relapser, but thank God that's not my story of late. And that first line just really, really hit me. Liquor ceased to be a luxury, and wow, sugar and snacking ceased to be a luxury. It was the way I dealt with life. It's the way I dealt with emotions. It's the way I dealt with boredom. Anything would have been a reason to eat. And I literally could not be in the house at night and not walk back into that kitchen, you know, have conversations with all the food in the refrigerator, with all the food in the pantry. And I always managed to take something back to my bedroom, you know. And it's such a miracle that through this program, and, you know, it took me a long, long time to get it, but once I was able to really say I am powerless, and I really came to believe in a power greater than myself and to rely on that power, because I think that was my biggest thing. I believed in a power greater than myself, but for me to let go and, you know, give up my self-will so that I could do my higher power's will, oh, it took a long time. It took a long time. And I sometimes find that, you know, prelapse is happening, that, you know, take an extra bite or just, you know, my program's kind of loose. And sometimes I realize that, oops, we're getting on a slippery slope because, you know, from black and white to the gray area is just too close. So, you know, I have to do a meeting every day and work all of the tools and, you know, live in 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12 every day. I don't usually get to be at this meeting. I'm usually at work at this time. But as they say, there's silver linings in everything. And me and the rest of my family members are all COVID positive. So we're not at work. We're home doing whatever else we can do in the house. And I guess it's enjoying family time. I know that's a little off topic, but, you know, I have to believe higher power gives you everything for a reason. You know, what's the chance of adult children and two adults, you know, being home together with COVID? So thank you for letting me share. I'm also on the phone list, and I love outreach. So it's Tammy K. from New York.
Thank you, Tammy. Next, we have Penny C, followed by Chrissy O.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And one of the things I've learned in OA is that I can never forget. If I want to stay healthy and abstinent and in recovery, I can never forget what it was like. I don't have to live there, but I need to remember. And so I saw this paragraph as something that I could write for myself and be able to identify. So I'd like to read a little bit of that. Binge eating and grazing ceased to be a luxury. They became a necessity. Using food to give me the sense of ease and comfort got to be routine. This went on endlessly, and I was waking in the night to get more to eat. I'd find crumbs in my bed in the morning and barely remember how they got there. One night, I even went down two flights of stairs to an unheated basement in the middle of February in Boston to get the ice cream I knew that was in the freezer. And I kept going back and forth until that whole half gallon was consumed. Nevertheless, I still thought I could control the situation, and there were periods of starving which caused me to lose weight and renew my hope. I just saw this as, and I suggest this to people I talk to take this paragraph and rewrite it in your own with your own experience. And I keep this in my book right at this page, and I read it often because I've been gifted with many, many years of recovery and abstinence and in a happy, joyous, and free life. And I don't ever want to go back to where I came from. And sometimes, you know, it gets to be, I can get a little, the old word's not coming to me, but I can just start thinking that I got it made now. Look at, I mean, this many years, I can just breeze along now. I don't have to be concerned or think about what it would be like to pick up. But that wouldn't be good for me. Just every so often I have to remind myself, and God helps me to do that, so that I'm not going to be in that hopeless state of mind and body again. It was not something I ever want to go back to. And so I thank God for OA and for all of you, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Penny C. Next, we have Chrissy O, and followed by Leah S., and then I will take some more names. Go ahead, Chrissy O.
Hello, this is Chrissy O in Indiana and sometimes Florida. Compulsive overeater recovered today by the grace of God and his power alone. I could not get abstinent. I could not be recovered without his power. And this paragraph, the liquor ceased to be a luxury. It became a necessity for me, the food. I would tell myself, I'm not going to do it this time. You know, I'm not going to run out in front of a fire truck with the food. I'm not going to do it today. And then I would do it. It was a necessity. It was like those drive-thrus had like neon lights flashing my name and calling me in like this catatonic state, you know, drive through, you know. And I saw one of those the other day, and I said, thank you, God, that I'm not in that line again, that line, you know, getting to, having to get a fix, having to feed the addiction that just ravaged my body up to 300 pounds, ravaged my relationships, and, you know, thinking of defiance, you know, I was always in defiance against any suggestion that would come my way or anyone sharing their experience. I was so defiant. I was going to do it my way. Maybe you all had to do this, that, and the other, but I don't have to do it. I'm different. I'm special. I'm I'm like a little queen baby, you know. Once I became willing to listen, once I became, if you scoff, remain to pray at least. When I became willing to pray and to cry out to God, God help me, God help me, God help me. That was the best prayer I could ever pray, because He did. He gave me direction. And I called someone, an old sponsor, and she said, why don't you go on to this workshop? And I was like, oh, no, not there. I embarrassed myself there. Thinking to myself, I was like, all right, I'll go. And then, you know, I became willing to listen and then, you know, to get a sponsor again. When I came back from relapse December 23rd this past year. And I was desperate. I was willing to go to any length and do anything. And like the toughest person in the world, I thought, spoke up and said she was available to sponsor someone that was willing to go to any length. And I was like, oh, God, all right, I'll text her, you know. And it was the best thing in the world. Thank you. Because I've recovered and I'm so grateful. And I welcome outreach calls. I'm retired and my name is on the list. Chrissy O, Indiana and Florida. Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy. And next we have Leah F.
Thank you so much. Thank you, moderator. Thank you all for such a beautiful meeting. And God bless you. Penny, and I'm so sorry I didn't go over to introduce myself in Virginia Beach, but I'm always happy to hear you. So here we go. Liquor ceased to be a luxury. It became a necessity. And how did it become a necessity for me? I would go out and I would go to different stores because I didn't want you to see me all the time coming and buying the same stuff all over again. That's what I would do. I would go at all hours when I really didn't want to go. It was hard for me to go, and it became a routine. And then small deals, oh, God, I had a lot of financial problems. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to enlist in Jenny Craig. I'm going to do this. I'm going to enlist in this Y, and I'm going to go here and there. And you know what? I'm going to sell Herbalife. That's going to keep me. And that's what I used to do. I had my denial is about this disease was so strong. I yo-yoed up and down, up and down. And let me tell you guys, I loved my sister. She was 46 years old when she died, just suddenly. She was overweight, and nobody could find the reason, but don't I know it. But me, I was still in denial. Why was I in denial? Because I lost the weight. I white-knuckled it. Oh, God, I white-knuckled it, and I got my weight back. But you know what? We don't know what damage we're doing to our body. We really don't know. Because this disease catches up on you. And this program is a miracle. It's a miracle because I no longer think I can control anything in my life. Absolutely anything. Anything. I have to have my higher power. I could not do anything without God in it. And this fellowship is just remarkable. It's remarkable in recovery. I cannot believe I am saying this, but I'm going to say it. October 26, 2014 was my last binge. But thank you, God. I don't forget it. I don't forget it. And keep trudging step by step and minute by minute and year by year. I pass.
Thank you, Leah. Okay, so we have time for about four more shares. So I will go ahead and take some more names. And we were reading, we read on page 5, the first paragraph. If we can share on what that meant to us or to you, that would be great. Okay.
Jean S. from Utah. Jean S.
Liz.
From Utah.
Liz.
Arlene H.
Jonathan Liz G., S. New York.
Liz S.
Okay.
Eileen A., New Jersey.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's cut there. I have Jane, Liz, Arlene H., and Jonathan G.
Susan,
you can
from
the,
Georgia.
I'm gonna, Susan, I'll put you down, but I'm gonna stop there. I'm not sure that we'll have time. So, go ahead, Jane, and if you can tell us your the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, that would be great. And if everyone else can mute, that would be fantastic. Thank
yes.
you so much. Go ahead, Jane, and unmute, please. Star one.
I hope you can hear me. I'm Jean, J-E-A-N-S, like Sam from Utah. I think
awesome,
that's
Jean.
Who you are saying.
Yes.
yes. And
thank you. I'm sorry.
Appreciate the shares for sure today and that paragraph. Also really liked hearing it put in regards to our disease compulsion that we have. It really is that I have great respect for, only because it has been down a rough road, and I'm so grateful for the recovery that these 12 steps and the God of my own understanding have helped me to recover from it. I also like page 85, and I don't have access to the book right now, but at the bottom of the page where it talks about sort of like resisting as if from a hot flame, that's how this disease is with me, because I respect its power and do consider it a hot flame. Like if I were to touch that, those compulsive foods of mine, I'm a goner. And these are wonderful descriptors of how difficult and challenging this disease is, but also there's further, you know, recovery. We have recovery, and the book points the way, and that way is toward God, and I'm so grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jean. Next, we have Liz, followed by Arlene.
Hi, this is Liz S., recovered in New Hampshire. This paragraph reminds me, I lived in New York for a long time. I'd get up at 2 in the morning. They had stores open 24 hours a day, and go to a store and buy food, or I'd come home with a bag full of food. It was always junk food because I had to have a variety. And I'd wake up every morning with a migraine and a dread fear of going out into the world. And I'd repeat the same thing night after night after night. And, you know, I love the page 30, which is the page where Bill talks about the fact that we've lost control and we're never, ever going to regain it. But I thought for some reason that tomorrow it'll be fine. Tomorrow it will be fine. Tomorrow it will be fine. And this would go on and on and on. And I might be, and I can't say abstinent because it really wasn't abstinent at all, but I might not do this for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But, of course, the mental obsession was always alive. The disease was always right there. And it would be back on this whole cycle again and again and again. And it was finally when two things happened. I realized I had no plan for my life, none. And the only plan that I could possibly hope for would be my higher powers. And the only way that was going to happen was the way that another recovered person so beautifully put it. I would have to be more sick and tired of this behavior and this eating and this insanity than the thought of putting it all down. And that's the point that I reached. Finally, after years, the binging, the thought of binging was worse than the thought of putting it down. And it was really by some grace, some power greater than myself, that Dr. Silkworth also talks about in the doctor's opinion, that I was able to do it. It wasn't me. But I think I reached that point. I don't have a plan. I don't have a plan. And only a power greater myself does. But I am not going to access that power if I keep doing this and doing this and doing this. And that's what finally made the difference. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Liz S.
And next we have Arlene H., followed by Jonathan G. Star one to unmute, Arlene, if you're there.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Arlene H. from New Jersey. I'm brand new. It's all about acceptance for me. Actually, it varies about acceptance to willingness. But liquor ceased to be a luxury. This is progressive. I tried OA maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember. Could not identify with what people were saying. Maybe I was blind to it at that point. I guess that was about acceptance, and I didn't. So anyway, it's progressive, and now I've gotten to the point where it's no longer a luxury. I never buy the food when I'm food shopping at ShopRite. I never buy the junk stuff and my red light stuff. However, the Wawa is 4 minutes away, 24/7. So I'm mostly a binger at night, although I do eat other times too, but nighttime is the worst for me. And it's like I try it, like going hour by hour, but not asking God for help. I have the numbers, not calling. So not doing, not surrendering. And I can relate to, like, if I go to the Wawa and I get the goodies, and then 3 hours or 2 hours later I want it again, it's like I'll have to go to Quick Check because I don't want this guy to know what I'm doing, as if he can't tell by looking at me. So right now for me, I'm doing it a day at a time. At first I don't know if you're allowed to mention food. I gave up the ice cream and it was like, okay, well, now I'm eating pretzels. And then it's like, okay, I gave up the pretzels. Now I'm eating Cheerios. What difference does it make which food I'm eating if I'm binging? And that's where I'm at. And I know I need to do the steps and it's one day at a time. And when I get that urge, I need to use the phone. I do listen to these meetings. I actually have the luncheon meeting at 12:30 every day. But am I doing the steps? No. Do I have a sponsor? No. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Arlene. Next, we have Jonathan G. And should time allow, then Susan P. will close us out. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'm very grateful for this meeting and all the wonderful people on it. When I read this paragraph today, I think about him perpetually being broke. That when he gets a little money, he pays off just enough to keep going his tabs at the delicatessens and the bars. And I think about myself as I was also always broke, but I was broke in another way. I mean, God is my employer. And I owed something to God to live in a certain way and use my talents in a certain way. And I'd pay off just enough to keep the account open, but I'd always be in debt. And today, living in 10, 11, and 12, which makes me remember 1, 2, and 3 vividly. Today I'm joyfully living without these debts. And I think I feel much better not feeling that there's a difference between the way I live and the way I should live. And that's a profound gratitude that I have for this program and my experience in recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, wonderful. Next up, we have Susan P., and that will be our last share for the day. Thank you, Susan. Go ahead.
Can I be heard?
Yes. Yep.
Hi, I'm Susan P. from Georgia. And first, I wanted to thank every single person who shared because I could relate to every one of you, and it makes me feel like I'm not alone. Two things I want to say before I get into the thing. People whose names are Chris or Chrissy or something, I've tried to find them on the member list, but I don't know, maybe the spelling, there's different ways of spelling it. So maybe if you share and you want outreach calls, maybe spell your name. The second thing that made a big difference food-wise in my program is I had to let go of artificial sweeteners. And that was harder than letting go of the sugar, the wheat, the simple carbs. Now, getting to the reading, you know, self-delusion and defiance. I mean, what the first speaker said about relating to the sentence that, you know, they still thought after all that they could manage it. You know, I reached my Armageddon point back in October, and that's when I surrendered to this program after many, many years. But what I have found is, you know, when I started back, you know, I asked God to remove my defiance, my ego, and I went to meetings every day, worked the steps with a vision sponsor. I did all that stuff. But you know what? The ego comes back, the laziness, the defiance, and I coasted. And the desperation, you know, I coasted on, I was so desperate, I'll never go back. And you know what? Those are very dangerous words. I'll never, you know, because it's I, which is my ego. And I'm just so grateful, especially to the people who shared 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, because it is a daily reprieve contingent on my spiritual condition. And I never have it made. But you know what? The program directs me to substitute. You know, it was very hard for me to let go of the artificial sweeteners. And so I just decided with that to ask God to help me develop a whole new relationship to food. You know, that it's not there to entertain me anymore. It's there to nourish me. And if I need to let go of something, oh, well, the program says, you know, let go of self-pity. I just ask God to remove my self-pity and direct my life. You know, I used to hear it said in OA, you know, 3 meals a day and life in between. To substituting people and God and steps and meetings and all that stuff for the food. And I'm very grateful because I just pray that God protects me. You know, the parts of the big book, we ask His protection and care with complete abandon. I do that. I often have to do that. And then in the third step, you know, we depend on His
gentle
power,
reminder
of His way of life. I depend on all that. So anyway, again, thank you everybody who shared, and have a blessed day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you to everyone who shared today, and all who've done service. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. See if I have that right. Yes, thank you. Lois P., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank
yes.
you, Lois.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.